Hello everyone and welcome to systemgorilla.com. My name is Seb and today I want to talk to you about automotive material trends that will really gain traction when electromobility is on the rise. Today's executive overview will mention scandium oxide for aluminum alloys and polyurea, a structural bonding adhesive. I wish you good entertainment and a lot of clarity. Why is there a need for new materials in the automotive world? Well, look at the bigger changes that we're facing. If we're focusing on electromobility for a second, we will figure out that the requirements for each vehicle generation gets bigger and bigger, whereas the vehicle should stay of the same size and, hopefully, of the same weight class. Well, how is that not contradicting? This is where material scientists can be the magicians of the era. They can provide us with newer materials that allow a different handling, a different sourcing, a different development of features, and, for sure, a different manufacturing process. All in all, this can go into lightweight engineered vehicles, but also faster production cycles. Well, if that's not what we all want in the automotive industry, so let's get into scandium first. To give you an idea of the problem size, a current BMW i7 battery pack totals around 675 kilograms for around 106 kilowatt hours of energy. 675 kilograms, that used to be a small Asian car in the 1990s. Just imagine, you have a BMW i7 and you house in it the equivalent of the weight of the 1990s small car. And for what? Because you have all that energy on board that you need to accelerate quickly and have your certain electric range. Within this battery setup we're just mentioning, a housing could be 10 to 20% of the overall weight. Let's say around 100 kilos. It's just to contain the cells and the modules and basically provide rigidity and safety in operation. But there seems to be some weight loss potential here, ain't it? Material scientists tell us that scandium is a perfect candidate for your material strategy to create lightweight engineering products within your aluminum alloys. You would add small percentages like 0.1% up to 0.5% of its mass and therefore get a grain refinement, a higher strength of the structure, the thing gets weldable, and it can bear elevated temperatures just compared to aluminum. So for your vehicle lightweight and design, this means that you could reduce wall thickness and increase operation temperature, which makes it easier for the thermal management. BMW Gen 6 vehicles emphasize their material strategy that includes lightweight building. So it could as well include aluminum scandium products. Next to an improved strength to weight ratio, scandium also improves your aluminum with a good formability. The welding is improved, as I already mentioned, but corrosion resistance also gets higher points. There's mature supply chains in place for scandium, and there's a way to cost effectively manufacture with it. Because of improved formability and welding, you could streamline your production processes better, especially the ones in-house. And when we're talking about battery housings, some manufacturers come off the idea that this is a brilliant in-house manufacturing task. Please remember that scandium still stays a rare material, so there's some costs involved in the supply chain. The alloying processes for your aluminum alloys need a tight process control. There needs to be an adaptation of your welding strategy if you are manufacturing in-house. There's a downside here. The recycling for scandium and its circularity still needs more establishment. But if you could handle that, then your design synergies will explode between CAD, CAM, CNCs, and weld robots. So perhaps you have a look at the top suppliers that are going for scandium aluminum, which contain Rusal, AMG, KBM at Philips, and Stanford Advanced Materials. Scandium International Mining Corporation, on the other hand, is not a classic automotive supplier, but critical upstream. So, what could that all be used for? Premium and performance-oriented or next-generation platforms could be targeting aluminum-scandium alloys. This is not necessarily for the mass volume casts, but rather for distinctive lightweight measures. Battery enclosures and trays could be carrying scandium in high-volume electric vehicle lines. There could be welded chassis, extrusions, and structural components because they add a lot to the vehicle weight as well. Additive manufactured or casts for high-performance parts like brackets, tie bars, suspension nodes could also be part of the strategy. So, for you, it's up to translating these alloy benefits of strength, weldability, and weight into a classical automotive cost trade-off. What is each kilo worth to you? But it's also about assessing supplier readiness, like technical maturity, qualify their timelines, and look over their cost curves. A premium market would also be help with a forecast when this alloy could be viable beyond a niche. So today, it's also advisable to look at risk mitigation when it comes to scandium, like supply chain constraints, manufacturing integration, and premium erosion. Before we're going on with polyurea, here's a fun twist about the automotive scandium use. Only a few grams of scandium can dramatically strengthen the structure, so that some experimental racing car frames in the 1990s gained up to 25% higher strength and 15% less weight. The price of scandium back in the days was so unstable that one Formula One supplier reportedly bought a 3-year supply in advance and then shelved the project when the price tripled. And now, diving into polyurea, let's also get the fun twist. Polyurea is an adhesive. Engineers say that polyurea's curve speed is so aggressive that if you spill it on a workbench, it hardens faster than you can swear. Now let's dig dive into that fun adhesive. Let's start with the adhesives market. The global automotive adhesives market was worth between $8 and $8.5 billion in 2024. Forecasts vary, but some experts see a commodity annual growth rate between 5 and 9% through 2030. Asia Pacific is the largest regional market by both production volume and growth. The usual adhesives are offering in areas like body in white structural bonding, for example for joining panels, load bearing parts, and traditional welding and spot welds. But also sealing and weatherproofing, as well as noise vibration harshness damping, is a gap to fill. Interior components and trims have long been part of the automotive place. Also, glass bonding and glazing, like for the front, rear, and side windows, can be done with adhesives. Powertrain, underhood, and battery packs are parts where adhesives get a growing importance. The repair and aftermarket in the automotive world highly depends on adhesives, though it is proportionally a smaller market. Now let's talk about polyurea adhesives. Polyurea adhesives are polymers that are formed by a reaction of isocyanates with amines. The urea linkages, giving it its name, lead to strong hydrogen bonding, which gives it a high strength, good resistance, and often a fast curing. The high elongation and flexibility it has, together with its good environmental resistance and tear strength, make it good for structural integrity. Polyurea, as already mentioned, comes with fast cure time, so it has to be handled as two-component system. It is often dispensed via a robotic mixing equipment or automated mixing equipment. To not get these bad accidents that you would get from instant glue and not being conscious in the handling. Polyurea usually offers superior temperature performance versus many other PEs. It has a better high temperature creep and a good adhesion to varied substrates, at least when the surface pre-treatment is correct. Current polyurea applications include battery modules and battery housing. You could bond things together or you can seal them from their environment. Therefore, using polyurea 2K, for example, to bond your cells and modules to the housing or cooling plates. Also, it can be used for structural adhesives in body components or multi-material bonding. Polyurea adhesives are very of interest if fast curing needs to be combined with flexibility and strong bonds. Those bonds can occur between metals, composites, and dissimilar materials like steel, aluminum, and CFRP. Therefore, it can replace welds or rivets or bolts in some cases to achieve weight saving, and this is our touch point. Polyurea, given its perhaps lower hardness, might be used in supporting adhesives or in more elastic joining, but many existing adhesive systems in thermal interfaces are either epoxies or specialized thermal adhesives. With its fast curing, a short pot life, and a short time to handling strength, those are increasingly important points to be used in robot and automated bonding environments, for example, battery module assembly lines. It is useful to discuss further potentials of polyurea in the automotive space when looking into battery pack module bonding and sealing, high-rate automated battery manufacturing, multi-material joints, weight saving, flexibility in design, and a durability under very harsh conditions, for example, UV resistance. Please keep in mind the drawbacks and compliance issues that you will have to deal with when talking about polyurea. Isocyanates and diisocyanates are toxic and are regulated. The exposure to your workforce must be controlled and managed. Products with under 0.1% of diisocyanates have fewer restrictions. Next in line, fast curing can also be fast cursing. It's good for throughput, but it also means short working time cycles, which imposes a high demand on dispensing, mixing, and robotics. Mismixing or delays can lead to defects in your products. There's a high reactivity, and curing can generate heat, which may damage sensitive substrates that are near. You need to do your surface preparation. The adhesion depends heavily on surface cleanliness, and sometimes you will have to use primers and proper pretreatment. With contaminants like corrosion, coating, or oxidation, the adhesion degree may degrade. Cost is also a bitter pill with polyurea. It is generally more expensive per unit volume or the material costs compared to simpler adhesives. But these costs may be offset in high volume. Let's talk shortly about long-term durability. As you all know, thermal cycling, moisture ingress, vibration, crash loads, chemical exposure, and so on and so forth can all degrade adhesives. Depending on the formulation, polyurea might be a little better resisting all of that, but it still needs thorough validation. Let's talk about the general adhesive's cost structure. High-performance structural adhesives cost in the ballpark of $18 to $25 per kilo. Lower-grade adhesives for inferior, interior, or non-structural parts might run around $6 to $12 per kilo, depending on volume and quality. The kilogram usage of material per passenger electric vehicle can be ranging from one-digit numbers for structural adhesives to significantly more for non-structural like trims and interior, depending on design and complexity. If you compare that with the price given, it means that non-structural and structural adhesives could bear the same share of costs when it comes to adhesives in the vehicle, even though structural adhesives are there in lower quantity. Let's make a short outlook for an investment into the automotive adhesives industry. Adhesives will be even more critical for lightweighting. There's a higher use of mixed materials like composites, metals, and plastics to be expected, which makes mechanical fastening and welding less efficient and heavier. EVs will probably increase adhesive shares per vehicle, not just in adhesives, but in adjacent equipment. Premium segments will probably demand better performance from their adhesives in terms of thermal, crash, and durability. Sustainability and circular economy pressures will force adhesive formulations to shift further. More bio-based content, easier disassembly, lower emissions, compliance with stricter regulations like VOC and recyclability. Not to mention, there's a cost pressure, and this will also increase. Raw material volatility and energy costs are drivers we know all too well, but also regulatory compliance will push these margins, leading to more vertical integration and regional supply chain localization. After talking about so many approaches to lose some weight in the automotive space, I'm now gonna eat something. I hope you enjoyed this executive briefing. It's a part of my executive advice that you can get at systemgorilla.com. My name is Seb, I hope you remember that, and I wish you a lot of clarity. Enjoy your day.